Hello, everyone.
Good afternoon. How are we doing today?
Good. Took me a little to sign in there for some reason. Zoom was wrestling with me.
Yeah, I sent the invite out a little bit late. Usually I like to do it a day before, but running a little bit behind this week. But yeah, I'll get started. Got some new people here. If you're just joining here for the first time, we do a weekly call basically to describe, share with other UVH members here how your week went. I'll share basically how everything went for me this week, what I learned, what worked, what didn't work, and just try to provide a community where we can all learn and basically grow together, because we all have different experiences, we all trade differently. We all do have the same goal of being profitable. So starting out this week, I knew that for me, honestly, I wasn't going to do a lot due to the CPI data coming out. And then we had the Fed as well. So this week was kind of like a double whammy. And I did trade the previous month's CPI report, and I did very well on that. But this CPI report, I was a little bit worried that I was going to get it wrong, because it was really a 50-50 shot. We did not this last earnings CPI report, but the CPI report that the market tanked because inflation was still very high. It was like 8.2%, and the expectation was like 8.0 or 7.9 or something like that. But this CPI report, I'm like, okay, I still think inflation is going to be high, but there is that it is going to beat expectations. I do wish I probably put on like a very, very small trade to the upside or even to the downside, because both of them probably would have hit. I think the during the research report this week, I did put out on Sunday night that I did think that the market again was underpricing the options, and they definitely were. I don't know if anybody read that, but they were basically Sunday night, they were pricing in a 100-point move for the whole week, and we moved way beyond that. And that's how we look for opportunities in the market. When I say 100-point move, I'm talking about specifically the S&P. So this week I actually didn't do a whole lot of trading. I did have some good trades on SPY. I had a couple good trades on Meta. Had a couple of good trades just kind of scalping futures. But other than that, I really laid low because I wanted to see the direction that the market was going to take. And now that I didn't think that the market reaction was going to be like that big, where we had NASDAQ was up 7% yesterday. S&Ps were up over 5%. I mean, it was the biggest green day, some people have ever seen. I mean, it's been a long, long time since we've seen a green day like this. And then today, we're coming into the market a bit choppy right now, where it's kind of digesting the move. I mean, sure, the market is up 0.5% right now, but it's been some choppy trading. And it's just kind of interesting to me how the market is digesting this, and inflation at 7.7%, still very high, but the market's kind of reacting like, hey, blue skies ahead, we're free and clear. But I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion are, and I'll let someone else talk here in a second. But my opinion is that, I mean, inflation 7.7% is not a win. I think that we are heading in the right direction, and it may cause the Fed to say, okay, let's slow down. But Jerome's tone the last time he spoke was just like, hey, we're gonna overdo it. We're not gonna slow down. Whatever you think that the top of the rate hike should be, we're going to go above and beyond that. Now, it'll be interesting to see if that changes. And this next week ahead, we're going to send out the impact report on Sunday night with the whole schedule. But this next week ahead, we actually have a ton of Fed speakers pretty much every day speaking about something to somebody every day next week, except for Friday. So it's going to be interesting to see what they say, what their tone is. But this market right now is all about the Fed, and it's all about what they're going to do, which kind of makes trading a little bit more difficult because we don't know what they're going to do, and they could change their mind at any given time. I mean, Powell could come on all hot last week, and then next week or a week after he can come in really soft. So, right now I think it's a time to keep your risk low. SPY, S&Ps, they broke above the 50-day moving average, broke above the 100-day moving average. If it could break the 200-day moving average on these, I think it could get a little squeezy. However, even with this rally, we're still in a downtrend. Like, it has not broke the downtrend yet. So, to start breaking the downtrend, the S&P 500 needs to break about like 4,300, 4,400 for a trend reversal, which we're about, we're currently about 400 points, 300 or 400 points below that right now. So we would need another 10% or so to get us to try to revert, say reversal. Because we've seen this, we've seen this story many times before in 22, where everyone gets excited, we start rallying, and then after these big rallies, we just crater. And then you have the crypto markets blowing up, entire crypto markets this week. FTX today filed for bankruptcy. I hope you guys are all safe in regards to that. But this has been one of the craziest weeks I think I've ever seen in regards to what the stock market did, what the crypto market is doing, and like how this all plays out, like nobody really knows. And I think we just keep our risk small, let our runners run, keep our risk small, and kind of see what happens. But next week, the catalysts are going to be the Fed speakers. And then we also have like some reports like retail sales, jobless claims, existing home sales. So those, I think, will be the catalysts for next week. And we also, next week, we're going to have retail earnings as well, such as Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, Target. So this will be the last earnings they report going into the holidays. So we're going to kind of see, has a potential recession hit these guys yet? What are they doing? So it's going to be fun, but it's also, I feel, not a time to just like, hey, I'm just going to go all in and buy all the calls I can get. Or, it's still, for me, like, I feel like we're not safe, and the downside's not safe. Like, shorting's not safe, going long's not safe. So right now, how I continue to trade this market is I just am continuing to keep my risk small and leave some runners. So if it does continue to be directional, I will still be a little profit. But if it doesn't, they'll get stopped out, and I won't lose any money. So that's kind of what's been working for me. And maybe I'm not making as much money as I was a few months ago or whatever like that, but also I think that the risks are a lot higher right now, and it's a lot harder to predict the direction that we're going in. So I don't know if anybody else has any input or want to share how their week went, but that was kind of mine in a nutshell, and how I plan to trade next week.
Well, good afternoon, Nick. And
hey, David.
Welcome to everybody there. Hey, last week, I felt like I might have scared away some newbies with that talk about how long it might take for the market to recover. But having said that, I felt like I probably left out the part of we actually, this is why I follow you. We basically just look for opportunities, and it doesn't matter if the market goes up or goes down. The worst market's actually sideways in a lot of cases. But this week was a very good example where you had to keep the emotions out of there, because a newbie seeing the drops, holding a position that was going against them, could have very easily not thought this was a permanent thing and not a news-driven series of events with, elections and all the things you mentioned all stacked up in the same week. And it would have been real easy to emotionally bail out. And I don't like holding shares in this kind of market, but I do a lot of wheels. That's kind of my bread and butter. And I have shares in some of those wheels. So I watched my account go down, $3,000 or $4,000. And this morning it was right back up where it was before it jumped off the ledge last Friday morning when we had Friday was a down, huge down day. And had I, when I was new in trading, had I bailed, let the emotions get in the way, I wouldn't have been back where I'm at. That would have been realized losses. And so this, if you could survive this emotionally without panicking and bailing out, it was a good week for seeing how the psychology of a huge swinging market can take out so many traders.
So what made you hold, if I can ask you that?
Well, as it went down, I wrote a bunch of covered calls against the positions. And when it started to swing back up, I flipped those to the put side. So even though the market made that huge swing and I'm back even with last week, I peeled off $500 or $600 in just option income off of the positions through the swing. And so, yeah, it was actually a positive week in terms of what I locked in on those option plays.
Yeah, and if you're selling options right now, one thing to take a note of, which I wanted to bring up when you're talking about, you know, selling calls or puts right now, IV is currently getting crushed. VIX is currently getting crushed. So if you're long options, you're wondering why you're potentially not making any money right now. If those options are losing money, even though it's going your direction, is because you bought those options at a when implied volatility was higher, and now that is starting to get crushed, where option sellers like David are coming in and, you know, taking off those positions as the premium starts to get crushed. So I just want to make a note of that.
Yeah, and anyone who doesn't use an IV line on their charts, if they're trading options, is really just guessing, because although the IV today, if I look over at the daily and the SPX, is still falling, I look over at say Albertson's charts up right now, it's been climbing inversely to what the S&P's been doing. So that's not a good option. The options on that one, by the way, are terrible. The one that's been doing real good for me, and I think a lot of guys here probably play it, is DraftKings. But same thing, if you look at its IV, let me get the right chart up here. Look at the IV on DraftKings on the daily. It bottomed and started back up 2 days ago. So just about the same time the SPX started to fall.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, I use implied volatility on all my charts too to make a decision, because it also helps if you want to go long premium or if you want to short premium, because if IV is skyrocketing, there's a high probability you're going to lose money unless it goes like a meme stock parabolic where IV rips off the chart and, you know, it goes nuts. That when you're buying implied volatility, when it's super, super high, you're gonna have a lot of odds stacked against you, where selling premium, and what I'll do, especially like during like the CPI events, I'll sell premium in SPX, SPY, those kind of things. Because after those events happen, premium, as you guys see now, premium is definitely getting crushed in those. And like you were saying, David, DraftKings premium is going skyrocketing right now, which would give good opportunity, but also dangerous if you're going long options as well.
So in review, this was a scary week, but it was a good week as far as it produced some income. Just to explain myself, you know that I don't know if all the same people are on here as were last week or not, but to explain my trading style, I've been trading for 20 plus years and went through the dot-com bust and housing bust and all the financial crushes and everything. And so I'm very comfortable trading both sides, long and short, because I had to learn, which is a benefit for anybody just coming on board right now. They'll have to learn to trade the short side of the market fairly quickly, where we had a group that came in 4 years back that only learned to trade the market one direction. And as Nick's mentioned quite a few times, a lot of those guys are getting crushed. They're not even here at this point. They're out on the sidelines or done. Being able to trade both directions of the market. And for those guys, I trade IRA accounts because I'm at that age where I'm not growing my accounts anymore. I'm actually required to take a mandatory deduction out after a certain age. They'll make you do that in IRA accounts. So my objective is to have a core amount in these accounts that I trade and spin off an income from there that's greater, as much or greater than my mandatory withdrawal that I'm required to take down. And that way the net core stays the same and you could trade that same amount indefinitely. So that's a little different strategy than what you read about. This is a case where being able to trade both directions, and for those guys in IRA accounts, there are inverse ETFs and where you can't outright short. And in most IRA accounts, you need to just cash to cure your put positions or cover your call positions. And you can basically do everything other accounts can do. You just can't go outright naked.
Yeah. And I agree with like the environment we've seen, you know, we'll see like when we're in a massive bull rally, we'll see a huge influx of traders come into us versus herd. And then when the rally fizzles out, they'll all bleed out. But to like be a real trader, I mean, I definitely do agree with you, David. You do have to trade both sides. And, you know, for me personally, shorting hasn't come naturally. It's something that you learn and acquire in your trading tool set. One tip that I will say that if you're like, I feel very uncomfortable shorting, one of the things that does help is to, especially when you're starting out, is to inverse your charts. I know you can inverse your chart on ThinkOrSwim. You can inverse your chart on TradingView. So that way you're trading it like it's bullish, but from a visual standpoint, but you know, the stock market is actually going down. You know, I noticed that does help a lot of people to inverse them. And then, you know, when it starts to top out, to buy or sell, whatever they want to do, whatever their strategy is. But I did notice that a lot of people are inversing their charts because to help them with the mindset to trade it going down. And a lot of people don't want to go short, I noticed, because like they don't want a company to do bad or whatever. But I mean, this is, as traders, it's not about believing in the company or not. It's just about, at this point, earning income off of options or futures or stock trading right now.
And that's a good point on inversing the charts. The first year I was trading was during that dot-com crash. And my mentors, at the time you couldn't invert the charts, very limited to what you could do actually on the computer charts. And they said, just print your chart and flip it upside down. And every time you think you should be buying it, that's where you want to go short. And that was a huge help. I used that crutch for probably a good 6 months to a year, or when there was any question about being able to interpret what I was seeing in front of me. That's a huge tool for getting comfortable with taking short positions, Nick. Great advice.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Print your chart out and flip it upside down. Couldn't even imagine.
You know, it dates me again, Nick, but when I started, we were in fractional, still in fractional trades. And we used to do little tricks what we call teenies. They would get the spreads wide enough by, say, a quarter that you would lead the bid and lead the ask going out, and you could squeeze off an eighth of a percent there, an eighth of a fractional tick. And it was, you know, $12.50 per hundred. And so if you did 1,000, you could get in there and scalp the market till they caught on to what was doing, and then they would pinch it back down. So when they went to fractional decimal math and started splitting down right to the pennies, it's very, very tough to use any of those kind of old tactics that the old guys used to use, to get my mentors used to use.
Yeah, because it's the brokers that are scalping those pennies from our accounts and off our trades in between us executing them.
Yeah, I think it's going back to something you said earlier, Nick, about the catalysts coming up this week, that everything you're talking about, is mostly Fed speakers and Fed engagements and what they were going to say about the current market situation. And it just occurred to me, it's been forever since I heard anybody talk about company data, like, you know, let's take a look at the merits of a particular company to make stock decisions. It's kind of watch out for what this Fed speaker says or a politician coming on Twitter or something like that. Been a long time since we've heard any company stats.
Yeah, well, this week we had, what moved the market for, like, you know, Meta moved the market on the layoff news. Disney had bad earnings. Those got crushed. I mean, so I think what's going to be interesting this next quarter and into 2023 is with this tight monetary policy, how the Fed has impacted these companies with, you know, their debt, how much money is going out to service their debt, acquiring new capital. I think it's going to hurt a lot of companies, that especially the companies that have a lot of debt going into this, didn't have a lot of money. Now they're going to be paying a lot of money in interest, and a lot of money in interest to acquire new debt. I think it's going to be a tough time personally.
Hey everybody.
Yo.
What's going on, Nick?
Hey,
what's going on?
Kind of just to reiterate everything, great week. Obviously CPI was the big catalyst this week. We kind of talked about, I think last week was 370 being a key area to hold, which we did hold. One thing I would say is look at the SPY daily. If you if you guys can chart it out, I mean, we're in a pretty decent rising wedge, which is generally bearish. Not saying that it will, it's for sure drop is coming, because we're obviously, this is a very, very volume induced rally we've been having the last 2 days. Shorts probably covering as well, being everybody was, assuming that we'd go down, but we're pretty extended up here. Not saying we can't keep going, but just something to keep in mind when we do get over that 400 area, 403, 404, just something to look or something to keep in mind, that a pullback is not a bad thing. I mean, there's definitely room for a pullback as we're in this weird looking rising wedge. And, flow has been extremely bullish the past couple of days, very, 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 very bullish. People were estimating 50 basis points in the December meeting by the Fed, which you can give or take say that was priced in. If you look at seasonality, generally speaking, second half of December is generally bullish. That's just seasonality. Obviously, we're kind of in a different time right now, but kind of monitor that rising wedge on the SPY. 403, over 403, I would say, would invalidate that rising wedge, but just something to keep in mind when you're, playing a position long or looking to swing something. That's all I got.
Yeah, when I'm looking at SPY, I'm also monitoring that 200-day moving average. Kind of briefly talked about it before you signed on. 200-day moving average right now on SPY is 407.15. Every time, the last time we came and touched the 200-day moving average was back in August 16th. Immediately rejected, and that brought us down to the lows of 348. So right now, like, in my opinion, like, the 200-day moving average almost like toxic in a way where that as soon as it touches it, it rejects it. The time before that we touched it was April 21st. And that brought us, you know, that brought us all the way down to like 360 after being at 450. So I don't, you know, it's something to keep in mind. And I definitely agree with the rising wedge that, but I do think that the 200-day moving average, I think a lot of algos are triggered around that because it's the price action. If you look over the chart over last year, the price action just kind of validates the 200-day moving average where the algos seem to be very, very active.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it historically. Yeah. The 200-day looks like a mess. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're what, up, what, 17 points this week, 17, 18 points, something like that. So, you know, if we get up to that 200-day, I mean, we'll be at 25 plus points. I mean, a pullback is not a bad thing. It's not out of the question, but, you know, we're still in a bearish market mentality and, you know, people are making the claims there. Is this a bear market rally or if we truly at the bottom? So that's kind of where you have to kind of mess with that in your head to figure out where we're at.
Yeah. In terms of a bottom, like I think a lot of us want to believe it's a bottom and maybe it is, but like at the end of the day, I mean, that's up for debate, right? Like nobody really knows. We could be if 348 was the bottom for the rest of the year, great. But the rest of the year here, I mean, we only got what, 6-7 weeks left in this year. And then we start 2023 off. And, you know, we've gotten used to over the last few years where January is a basically like a hyper bullish month. And, you know, I think going into that, it's going to be very interesting to see how all that goes. Also, like I saw some news out today. I don't know how legit it is or not, so kind of take it as a grain of salt, but you know, there's been news with the Ukraine war that Ukraine's taking over some of their stuff. So that would be bullish, would be obviously bearish for military stocks, stuff like that, that are you know, weapons, stuff like that, that are heavy on government contracts. That could be a catalyst, but obviously this is all kind of speculation. We've been in a lot of different rallies this year, faked a lot of people out, and every time they've lost. So I'm not too excited. And that's why like my particular strategy right now is, sure, I'm not like, you know, making as much money as I used to, but also at my risk has been super, super small, just because like we could open up Monday and the whole rally be evaporated. Like that's kind of market we're in. So you got to keep an open mind, not to get too euphoric and too like into it, because that's when they pull the rug, is when everybody's like, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing it. And sure, you can make great money, but just leave the runners, take some profit, leave the runners, and just redeploy that capital.
Yeah, I actually started reducing some size this morning. Is this thing, I'm watching the volume on it, and that was such a huge volume spike, and today's volume is going to fall a little short. And I always look at volume as the wind and the sails that's driving the momentum. So as it approaches that 200, I'm expecting that to kind of drop.
The problem I think now is when you look at a lot of these charts, like TA is just like out the window now because of CPI. Like it's just a mess. So it's going to be hard to kind of, you know, chart out something with a major green wick that kind of just invalidated everything. So I would say going into next week, it's might be a week to start fresh, just to kind of see where we open up and where we go from here. And if I'm not mistaken, I think next week is OPEX week. I think I could be mistaken, but I think it is. So we might see some volatility there. And then the VIX, I mean, the VIX has just been crater for, I mean, the past 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. So, I mean, option pricings are, you know, fairly priced now versus if you bought two, I think Nick mentioned this, if you bought 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago and you're swinging, I mean, you're getting crushed. I mean, you know, that the VIX is just getting wrecked. So that's something to consider.
Yeah, I'm thankful. I'm thankful the VIX got wrecked finally, because like my sweet spot for VIX is basically between like 20 and 27. And that's when I trade the best. That's where I make the most money. When we get above 27, 28, 29, 30, that's when performance starts to go down. And obviously because of, I mean, it's definitely a lot higher risk volatility. And, you know, the way that I trade, I get stopped out a lot during that. And, you know, now that we've got a nice VIX reset, I think we're off to some profitability here that's going to be great. You're right about next week is the third Friday of the month. Also next Thursday, it's going to be the first UVH webinar for Academy members. Will be recorded as well if you guys can't make it. So next Thursday, we're going to be doing a webinar and just trying to, you know, educate and help everybody through this. And I think just adding this extra layer will, you know, I definitely appreciate everyone that shows up to these calls, because I think it's also very helpful to kind of get some perspective from other people, you know, for me as well, just to kind of see like what your guys' thoughts are. Cause I mean, it's, we all view the market differently, and, you know, some people are super bearish, some people are super bullish. And then there's some people that are kind of in between, just like, you know, I don't even know anymore. I just quit, you know, I just stopped. So, I think that the, you know, with the VIX resetting, us going into, you know, having this nice rally, I wouldn't be surprised, like you were saying, Adele, like if we have a pullback, VIX spikes up a little bit. I would like to see, if we're looking at it, I would like to see a pullback down to like on the SPY, like to 390 area and bounce. That would be bullish to me, but I don't know, you know, the market's going to do what the market's going to do. All we can do is try to anticipate, you know, the next move, but, you know, try to reduce our risk going into our next trade.
Do we have any major economic events next week? We got PPI, I think, next week. And then maybe jobless claim. I think job is end of the month, but other than PPI, do you know of anything?
So I think, yeah, you missed this, Adele. There's a Fed speaker every single day next week, except for Friday. I'll send out the impact report on Sunday with the whole list, but there's retail sales, import price index, business inventories. We also have existing home sales, jobless claims, building permits and housing starts. So it's pretty data heavy, and there's a lot of Fed speakers next week. And then we have also retail earnings next week, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, Target, all those kind of people.
Okay, makes sense. Walmart Target can be interesting for sure.
So it's gonna be pretty heavy. So I would definitely watch, like, you know, order flow on retail stock. So that's gonna be a key thing going into what they, you know, we know that Amazon bombed it, and they said Q4 is not gonna be great. So if Walmart and Target, all of them, kind of have the same tone, I feel like it could be bad.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, I don't know if maybe you saw it, but there was a big, 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 huge Target put. I mean, not saying people should buy puts on it, because, I mean, you don't really know their intention. But, I mean, over 700,000 in puts in Target for, I think, second week of December. So they're pricing in something, but I thought that was pretty interesting. So I just kind of been monitoring that to see where, you know, where that order is. And from what I'm seeing, they're still in that order, and, you know, I haven't seen them close it out. I mean, they might close it out at the end of the day, but I mean, they're still in that huge Target put for a couple weeks out.
Yeah. I mean, personally, and this is not investment advice or anything like that, personally, I am bearish the retail stocks, but I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like the CPI report, right? Like, you know, you think one thing, it could go the other way for sure. There's a lot of trap sellers. If you're looking at Target chart, there's not a lot of trap buyers. I mean, you know, a couple earnings ago, they got crushed when it went from 210 down to, what was it, like 170. So there's a huge gap. I think a lot of people are anticipating that the gap will be filled here, but you know, we're heading into some uncertainty here. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, the biggest thing is, I mean, that gap has been trying to fill for a long time. I mean, it's a slow moving gap. I mean, it's slowly making its way. I mean, it's definitely off its bottoms, but I mean, it's a slow mover for sure. But I mean, with retail, I mean, retail is a little bit different than, like, you know, tech, or, you know, most of your names in the queues, which is primarily tech. And it's not like, you know, Target's a, you know, I would say like a longer term hold than, you know, some of the other names. So, I mean, you're in it for the long haul. That's like kind of how I view it. On a valuation standpoint, Target is cheap for sure. But I mean, in this macroeconomic time, I mean, Target and Walmart, like we all kind of know, a couple months ago, they said that they're going to have issues. They have an overabundance of inventory. They're slashing prices to accommodate to all those inventories. So, I mean, it's a little bit different, but, you know, it's kind of a crazy time that we're in, but I think I'm with you on Nick on that. I mean, obviously this is, you know, this is just all speculation, but I think retail next week is going to be a huge player. And personally, I'm going in thinking that we would drop because of that. I'm seeing with retail names, but obviously anything can happen, but I'm not going to play any retail names. I'm just kind of going to monitor it. But it's definitely one that's going to be interesting. I mean, outside of that, I think I'm going to be looking at the XLK, which is the retail ETF. Haven't seen anything in that yet. That's kind of going to be a huge driver of, okay, what are they expecting? Yeah, I mean, speaking of gaps, I mean, FedEx, wow. I mean, we've been calling that out for, I think a couple of weeks now, we've been saying FedEx, it's coming, it's time, and it's finally pushing it.
Yeah, that's that. FedEx is crazy. I mean, can it go 200? I don't know, but I guess we're gonna find out, right?
Yeah, that was insane. That was crazy. Thankfully, I caught it on, they were 5 cents for those. I've been, truth be told, I got crushed on FedEx last week because I thought I was gonna fill the gap and rejected. So I got in again on Tuesday, 170s, because I saw some flow and I was like, okay, I mean, they're 5 cents. If it goes to zero, it goes to zero. I closed them out at 90. So, I mean, it was,
wow, like
1800%. It was a good trade.
Yeah. I mean, now, I mean, I guess people are, and that's one thing that I noticed is, like, we anticipate the runs and we anticipate, and they do happen, but like in this market, I feel like our timing is always off. Like whether it's a week, a day, or a month, like we're always off, just barely, like, yeah. We're, you know, and then you know, I've learned in this market, what has gotten me through this market is keep your risk low, keep trying, because your idea is probably going to work out. The question is, how much money can you afford to lose that it won't be profitable when you start winning? You know, you got to balance that out. Cause if you lose $1,000 and you only make 900 back, then it's not really a good trade. You should have just done something else, you know? So that's what I've been learning, is it's okay to keep trying, and you should keep trying, cause you're most likely, your instinct is probably right. But the question is, what is the market going to allow you to do before it actually happens?
What do you got as far as trade ideas for next week? I was looking at the chat and I saw you close out on a couple of good ones, a couple of winners. What's your, what are you monitoring next week?
Yeah, so kind of like you, obviously, so the research lab, I've been focusing on SPY and SPX, and that has been working out rather well. I'm also going to be focusing on the retail specifically. I'm going to be checking into order flow. The good news is we're going to have some good opportunities here in terms of IV. Hopefully we can scoop up some cheaper options here and things won't be as expensive as they were as the, you know, last month or two. Cause I mean, VIX is at the lowest it's been in a long time. So hopefully we can scoop up some, you know, I'm looking to get some debit spreads potentially on some of these earnings, if I can get good pricing on them. If not, I will be looking to sell some premium, most likely SPX. and just try to keep my risk small. I mean, we do also have NVIDIA and Palo Alto and Cisco earnings, as well as Alibaba, which I don't trade Alibaba anymore, but it's always good to have on your radar in terms of like China stocks. So those names I am particularly interested in, and those are stocks that, you know, all the stocks that are trading, like Palo Alto, NVIDIA, those are stocks that I've actively traded over the years. So I'm particularly interested in them, but I don't know. I don't know if the data and the retail is going to screw the market is my only concern. So anybody else have any questions, concerns? Anybody want to share anything else before we party?
Just one thing to point out on the calendar too. This coming Monday, President Biden and President Xi are meeting to discuss the world. So that
it's Xi. Don't get it wrong. Xi. Oh,
sorry,
I'm kidding.
But that could definitely impact Chinese stock behavior.
Yeah, I think it's best not to trade China stocks. I think we've all learned in one way or another not to trade that.
And I think that's a good point. I think, I'm not sure who's speaking about that. Was it David? I don't know who said that, but that's actually a good point, because I did see some commentary that Biden will be asking about Taiwan and, you know, other measures that they plan to do in Russia and oil. So I think there's a lot of commentary that we can get out of that. I think it's the summit that he plans to talk about that. So that's very good that you brought that up, because that's easy to forget for sure. But from what I read, he's going to be talking about Taiwan. And I think that's huge. That can happen, and definitely a market mover if we get some movement on that.
Yeah, it would be just our luck that Ukraine war ends and then they start Taiwan war.
The odds, man, I swear, we just can't get out of this.
ever since 2020, we've been on the treadmill of doom.
Back to normal seems like it's far away.
Yeah, I don't know what normal is anymore. Well, all right, guys, I'll give you back some time on the Friday if you guys don't have anything else. If you do, you can always hit me up on Discord or text message. However you guys want to interact, email. You guys have a great week. Next week we'll be back at it. Again, I think to recap what we've discussed: reduce risk, redeploy that capital. Just don't lose the whole bag, I think, and you'll be okay. Everything will be okay. But a lot of market moving events next week: retail earnings, a lot of reports coming out. Fed speakers, and then yeah, we do have Biden and Xi boxing it out for the world to see. So you guys have a good one.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Everybody have a great weekend.